Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We have a few announcements today. First, I want to mention, if you hadn't seen the email yet, Amy, Jenny's daughter, passed away early this morning. I will be in prayer about it later. And we get details about services and things like that. We'll share it. The other announcement is there will be a meeting follow worship service on Sunday, October 27th, where Session will provide updates on our efforts to start the next chapter in the Glenshaw Valley story. Please plan to be there. Should be short. And the other is to highlight the fact of Sean and Emma Perlman's Eagle Court of Honor. It's going to be held on after the service on 12:30 on November 10th. Details are in your bulletin. Any other announcements? I guess not. I will pass it over to Tom to begin our service.
My beautiful brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the day the Lord has made. We have gathered to rejoice and to make our hearts glad, being together and in this day. Join with me as we call one another to worship this morning, as the bulletin leads us to say. Come, Spirit of truth, fill our hearts. May that which was of stone be now transformed into life.
Come, Spirit of life, change our hearts.
May we who receive your light dwell together in unity.
Come, Spirit of love, soften our hearts.
Make us bold to bring light into the dark places, warmth to the cold places, and compassion to the empty places, as we, your people, celebrate the mystery of your never-ending goodness. Make a joyful noise to the Lord is the hymn number 54, and if able, we stand together to sing. Standing, we join as one voice to confess our sins together. We confess that we sometimes close windows against the fresh air of new ideas, against the noise of other people's worries, against the winds of change, We confess that we often draw curtains against people who are different, against world's pain and confusion. Forgive us our fear in our locked homes, our shuttered churches, the security systems on our hearts. Open up our lives and let your Spirit blow through. In a moment of silence, let's each confess our personal and private sin. And now hear this, God's promise. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please know that confessed sin is forgiven sin today. We are God's forgiven people. Amen. Voice, we declare the faith of the church, saying, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now send your greeting, your love, your smile to one another. Thank you. every age, O God, you have been our refuge. In every age, O God, you have been our hope. What great and marvelous and strong words are they. We gather together in prayer, mindful of some special needs this morning. As already announced, that Amy, known to the church and has been in hospice passed from the church, militant to the church triumphant, now gathered with the people of God forever and ever. And so we give thanks for her life, for God's presence in her life from the day of her birth until this morning, and now forevermore in God's presence. So I know you'll be looking forward to hearing about what kind of response we as a church will make in behalf of that family and Amy's memory, and our prayers are with them, as well as with Jenny, her mother, who had surgery and had a bad week and is struggling for stronger health and recovery. So for them, for this family, and for others that we know who need our prayers, we will be praying today. Also, an 80th birthday. Who has the 80th birthday? Raise your hand.
He's not here.
What's his name?
AJ.
Oh, it's AJ.
Yeah.
Okay. AJ is not here, but if AJ hears this in any way, tell him I said there is life after 80. And there's much to celebrate and look forward to and enjoy in the 80s. And some people even go past that in full strength of heart and spirit. So thanks for that announcement. And then for Roy and Jan, where are they? Raise your hand.
Behind you.
Ah, there you are. The baseball player and the golfer and the faithful
and the
spouse and the golf widow and
my beautiful wife.
That's right. 12 years of marriage, 12th anniversary. So we celebrate with them today. Do you watch sports with them? Yeah.
Cards, yes.
Yeah, my wife reads. Oh, of course, we're gathered today in God's presence, mindful of the needs of hurting and hungry and desperate world that needs God's presence so very greatly. All of the places of hunger, despair, violence, and war. The people who have been affected once again by storms, particularly in Florida, by the parts of our country that are still struggling to recover from the storms of this past week and days. So let's join together in prayer, mindful of our connection with all of those who need our prayers today. Let's pray. O God, you are indeed our refuge and help in every time of trouble, and you are our joy in every time of celebration. From age to age, 1,000 years are the same as one moment, and yet you hold us in your embrace. You know our name. You know the number of hairs on our head. Every breath we take is a reminder that our life is in you. And for all of the goodness that's in our life, all the blessings, we give you great and deep thanksgiving this day. We pray your guidance upon the leaders of this nation. We think of our own country preparing for an election. We're mindful of the needs of people who need health care, strength, encouragement, And for all that we have in need, we bring to you because you are the giver of every good gift. You are the giver of every blessing. You are the healer of our bodies and minds. You are the lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path to show us the way. So we bundle up all of these prayers for the leaders and the nations. We pray for your help, your guidance and strength. Especially do we pray your blessing upon Jenny and Amy's family, loved ones, all who are deeply affected by her passing this morning. Thank you for your presence. You have been a faithful God to Amy all of her life. And we are in praise that you welcome her into the full life that is to come. Guide and direct and strengthen this congregation. Lift it in strength of witness, in presence. May its light shine. May your blessings be spread widely abroad because of the love and ministry of this congregation. May Christ be honored here in every conversation and every gathering of worship and work. May this church know your mighty presence and your power. We remember that Jesus taught us to pray, and together we say and remember that prayer now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is on the screen. We rise, if able, to sing together, Spirit of Gethsemane, of Gentleness. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
Be seated. Let us worship God together as we bring our gifts. Blessings overflow, and here we bring the best that we can offer as praise and thanksgiving for your grace, and with hope of your promise that the world will be blessed. We bring in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, our readings are from the Old Testament, the story of Noah and the flood and the ark and the promise, a rainbow. And then the reading from Acts in the New Testament gives us a vision of that new world that God has brought into life because his love will never let us go. And so first from Genesis. The Lord then said to Noah, Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 2 of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth. For 40 days and 40 nights I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And then and chapter 8 begins like this. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. And then to add, not on the screen this morning, but to add for our hearing and to this day's lesson, a word that was written almost at the same time as the story of Noah. It's the prophet Isaiah who says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." And now from the New Testament.
Acts 17-21. In the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you. Thank you. Now, before I preach this morning, before I say a prayer, I want to be honest with you. At 9:45 this morning, as I was gathering my notes in my study, I realized something. That the sermon I had so carefully prepared, and I work hard on sermon preparation, and then try to remember what I had done. There's a great deal of reading and writing, thinking and praying, pondering. And at the end of that, there's usually, almost, well, always, there's a manuscript in which I have tried to think through everything that I want to say. At 9:45 this morning, I realized there was no song. It didn't fit. It didn't come together. It wasn't a sermon that I wanted to preach. And my English teacher wife would say to me afterwards, "Where were your transitions?" I thought you would laugh at that, but... And so what you're going to hear today is not the sermon that I wrote. The sermon you will hear today is the one that will emerge. And there's a difference. Pray with me that this sermon will emerge. Oh God, we thank you for your tender word, your welcoming word, your challenging word. May your word find its place in the preaching and hearing of good news this day. Amen. I announced a few weeks ago that I would be preaching the Torah this fall until we enter the Advent season. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, and we're going so slowly that we'll never make it through all five books, will we? We're still stuck in Genesis. But that's such a good place to be. Genesis, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, it's a unit. Chapter 12 of Genesis begins with the calling of Abraham and the story of Israel. But until then, we have these 11 chapters that attempt to explain to us what the foundation of our faith is going to look like. It would be so difficult to understand the Bible, the New Testament, any of it, unless we have first gone through Genesis. So when Jesus says in the New Testament, or when Paul says in the New Testament, as in Adam all have sinned, so in Christ will all be made alive, you need to know who Adam is. And so these 11 chapters. It begins, of course, with such goodness. The Bible begins in doxology and praise. This wonderful God who looks out and who speaks, and from the spoken word of God there emerges this beautiful creation, the light and the stars and the planets, and then the earth and the animals, and then the people. And God looks and says, oh, so very good. That is the beginning of our story. We begin in goodness. The earth begins in light and with praise. Everything is in harmony. Harmony and goodness and grace and compassion and love. This is God's beginning with creation. And then immediately we see the reality of the decreation, the uncreation. Adam and Eve want to be like God, less. They say in the garden, we want to be like God. And there's a break, the first break, the harmony broken. They want to find life on their own. They want to be a God unto themselves. They want to be master of their own fate and destiny, the captain of their own ship. And so this harmony is broken, and when it's broken, they begin to blame each other. And the harmony that's perfect between the male and the female is broken. And then immediately after that, the story of the first brothers who were unable to live together in harmony and love and compassion, in which one felt hatred for the other and took him out into the field and the first murder. This disharmony continues, and it builds over the generations until finally God looks down on earth after 10 generations, and God sees disharmony. God sees violence and uncaring. God sees hatred and revenge. God sees people living for themselves alone in disregard for the needs, wants of others. And then God says, that he was sorry that he made humankind. He's going to start over, though. Something changes. And what changes is that God sees Noah. And God sees in Noah a righteous person. Noah walked with God. And because of that, God decides to recreate the world. That's the Noah story in a nutshell. It's God's second creation. God's going to create the world again. God's going to start over with the human project. And so Noah and the animals go into the ark, and the flood comes, and Noah waits. This is what we do. We wait. We wait for God's action and presence and purposes to unfold. And then there is new life upon the earth. What happens in the ark is that Noah and his family and the animals learn how to live together with compassion and understanding and forgiveness. There is no life. The fullness of life, the life that thrives. And this is what God wishes for us. This is what God wants from us. Not to go through every day of our lives just breathing and eating and sleeping and starting the day over the next day just doing the very same thing that we did yesterday. What God wants in our lives is us to thrive. God wants our lives to be a song. God wants our lives to be an exhibit of joy. God wants from our lives an example of what it means to be a forgiving person. God wants from us a loving response to whatever happens to us. And the story of Noah calls us to trust that. That this is what God intends, and this is how we trust. I've been in the work of ministry for 60 years, just about. Loved every minute of it. Well, no, not every minute. Every day. Maybe not every minute. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. I've never had a boring day. I've never had a day in which I thought that it was boring to be in this work. It's just been one. It's been one thing of finding something new, finding something that I didn't know before, discovering once again how great and how gracious this God of ours is. But the one thing that I know, if I know anything at all, the one thing I know, it's this. That we in this life are connected to everything. Everything is connected. And everything coheres Everything is brought together in unity in God. We are part of each other. We are members and part and family of one another. And there's no end to that. There's no boundary to that. But because we are part of one another, how I treat you is how I treat myself. You understand that? That is so important. That in giving you love and respect and forgiveness and grace, I am bringing that back into my own heart and life. And obviously, when I fail to do that, every attempt I have to hurt you hurts me. Because we are connected together, there's no separation. We are one family, one creation in God, in Christ, not separated from each other. And so, is it any surprise when the last judgment comes? You believe in the last judgment. You said so this morning. He will come to judge the quick and the dead. There will be a last judgment in which our lives will stand fully and completely before Christ. And he will say to us, and it's so obvious, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That in loving one another, we are loving our Christ, we are loving God. When we love and support and respect and forgive one another, we are bringing blessing on them, and we are bringing blessing on ourselves. The 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, I remember this so well. 1963, four men, Ku Klux Klan, put dynamite in the church, the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham. 400 people that Sunday morning had gathered for worship. And when the blast went off, many were injured, but there were four little girls, ages 11, 14, 14, 14, white Sunday dresses. They're not just numbers, four. They had names. They had names. God knows us by name. Our names are important. Denise, Adele, Cynthia, and Carol, four little girls, were killed by that dynamite blast in September of 1963. The 16th Street Baptist Church, Birmingham, Alabama, by members of the Ku Klux Klan. Miles away, in a little country called Wales, that had a strong tradition of Sunday school. The Welsh people really had strong Sunday schools. And there was a man who read about what happened that September morning in 1963 and got the vision of making a stained glass window as a gift to the 16th Street Baptist Church. He contacted the church and they agreed, but it needed to be paid for. And they came up with the idea of letting the children of Wales the 11-year-old children, the 14-year-old children of Wales, be the people who would collect the money for the stained glass window. But they would not let anyone give more than 15 cents. Because they didn't want some wealthy person writing a check. They wanted everybody to get involved. And the children went out into the streets, into the schools, and collected their 15 cents from hundreds and thousands of people who must have known somehow, in a deep way, that what happened at the 16th Street Baptist Church affected what happens in Wales, 4,000 miles away. That this is just distance that human beings make, but there's no distance in the heart of God. People are not separated by miles. We are all together. We are one creation. There is one harmony, unity in all of God's creation. And today, if you would go into that church over the balcony, there's a stained glass window. It's a black Christ. One hand, he's on the cross. One hand is in welcome and one hand is in no, no to hatred, to bigotry, to meanness, to hurtfulness, to dynamite, to exclusion, anything that would keep people apart from one another, no. And an open hand of welcome. I've seen that stained glass window, not in person, but pictures, number of times. And this time I saw something when I looked at it this week that I had never seen before. Over the head of the crucified Christ is a rainbow, which was Noah's sign that God's purposes for a new creation will never end. You know, this is all we get. I wish maybe sometimes there would be more that I could say that you can get, but this is all we ever get. We never get anything more than this. A promise. Promise that whatever rivers and floods and disasters and hurts and pains and losses and defeats we go through, promise. The promise that Isaiah made, that we read this morning. I've called you by name. You're mine. And that is enough. The promises of God will carry us everywhere and will carry us anywhere. Well, I didn't know what I was going to say when I started, but that's it. And I believe it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your promises. that as long as earth endures, you will be our faithful God, a God that we can trust today, tomorrow, and always. Thank you for the rainbow that reminds us of your great and marvelous promises to us and to the world. Amen. A closing hymn, "We Wait for the Peaceful Kingdom," number 378, and on the screen, we rise to sing together. Bless one another as we go from this place. Go to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free.
God, go with us in all that is gentle. Christ, go with us in all that is brave.
And the Spirit go with you in all that is free.
We go in peace to love and serve our God.
Amen.
I just wanted to share with you all, this weekend is a weekend called Faith in Blue. We have a member of the Shaler Police Force in the back who would be very happy to have a dialogue and answer any questions and have a discussion. So we welcome you for being with us today. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mickey.